Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today. Father, I pray that each heart will be open, each ear will be open to receive from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is Communion Sunday, and I have not done a communion message in a long time. For a while, I did a communion message every first Sunday, but then I said, well, I've done it for a while. I just do regular messages. But today, I wanted to, because some people might not really understand the communion, what it's all about, part of it, anyway. And I want to talk about four things this morning that the communion says. Four things that it says to us and how we should look at partaking of the communion. You know, I want to read, first of all, the account where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to read from Matthew. It can also be found in Mark and Luke. But he actually instituted the communion that we call it, Eucharist, some people call it, at the feast of the Passover, when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. He instituted the communion at the end of that, which indicates to us our release from Satan's bondage. The Feast of the Passover, it signified the release of the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. The communion to us signifies our release out of Satan's bondage. It says, on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came. It's called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover Feast. It's the same. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to make preparation for you to eat the Passover? He replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were there, eating there, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to him one after another, surely not I, Lord. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it was written about him, but woe to the man that betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus answered, yes, it's you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Excuse me. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin. I will tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in the Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now I want to go to Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23. And it says, for I received from the Lord that I also passed along on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until it comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And a person ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. So with that, I want us to look at the communion and what it's saying to us and what we should be doing when we take the communion. At the time of communion, it is a time of remembrance. A time of remembrance. When we pick up that piece of bread and hand me a cup. Somebody hand me one of the cups and some of the bread. Should have done this ahead of time, but I forgot about it till just now. Thank you, Ernie. When you pick up that bread and we got them put in the little plastic deals. Somebody put gloves on and put them in there so that you, when you pick that up, and when you have the juice in the cup, these are supposed to remind you of Jesus. The bread is to remind you of how his body was beaten and broken before he went to the cross. The cup is to remind us that he was without sin, but he took it upon himself that we might be set free. 1 Peter 2:24 and 25 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Now, when you eat the bread, it should remind you of the brutal beating that he took. Actually, they have depicted it in many places, but there is an old book. It's by Gekke. It's really, really old. I used to have a copy. I don't know where it is now, but it's about Christ, and in it, and in fact, in Isaiah, if you'll read in Isaiah, they said his visage or his appearance was so marred you could not recognize him. And in Gekke's Life of Christ, it says that he was so beaten that you couldn't tell who he was. And if you do some research, that whip that he was whipped with had they called it the cat of nine tails, because at the end it had these nine different little straps. And they say that on the end of those was little balls of lead, and they had little pieces of glass in them, and that when they hit people on the back, that sometimes it would wrap around and rip open the skin on their front part of their body. It would get over and get on their face. It was brutal. This should remind, he did that for you, for healing of your body. He took those stripes. And when we look at that cup, it should remind us of the nails that went into his hands and his feet, and the blood that began to spill out. The crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. You see, sometimes when we're taking communion, we don't think of these things. But this is what we're remembering. We're remembering what he did for us. It was for us. We're the ones that should be taking that. But he did it for us. You know, It says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And I want you, as you look at these, when you take them, when they're passed to you, I want you to begin to remember what they really represent. You know, the communion is a time of examination. And we read it. Paul said, a person ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. Now we set aside a time for this communion, the Lord's Supper. We're not just doing some church ritual. You know, this is a time that we set aside to reflect back on what Jesus did for us. This is a time that we need to examine ourselves. And it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, when Paul is speaking here about unworthy manner, he's talking about people who just rush in and participate without even thinking about what it is. Oh, this is just the communion. No, it's not just the communion. It has significance of importance, you know. And this is a time to reflect and examine the seriousness of the communion and what it's all about, so that we don't take it in an unworthy manner. The scripture, we can read in the scriptures, but, you know, somebody said, well, what does this mean? Well, if you have strife in your heart, or envy, or jealousy, you need to repent of that before you take the communion. If you just see the Lord's Supper as a mere ritual, then you need to repent of that and realize that it has the communion table has great spiritual significance. Another way you take unworthy is just having irreverence to the things of God and the church. Another way is having disrespect for the poor and the needy. And of course, the way that is worst of all is partaking of it when you haven't even asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, when you haven't even repented of your sin. Another thing we need to do is examine our relationship with Christ. What is our relationship? Are we way out here at arm's length, or are we walking right beside Christ? Come on now. You see, many people look at that and they don't understand. And I'm bringing this out. These are the things that we need to not have in our heart if we're going to partake of this table. Now, I'm not the one to judge whether you're to participate in partaking of the Lord's Supper or not. All I can do is remind you that this, you need to examine yourself before you participate. The communion is a time of participation. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks for participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, but we all partake of the one loaf. The communion table should remind us that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and we came into the family of God, that we are to participate in the things of the church. We are to participate in what the Word of God has told us to do. We need to look at this table, at these elements, and realize that it's just not bread. It's just not the cup. It's more. They represent the sacrifice on Calvary. Now get a hold of this. When you partake of those, you participate in Calvary. Come on. You participate in Calvary. You're saying, this should be my blood, but Jesus shed his blood for me. This should be my body that's beaten and broken, but he did it for me. In a spiritual sense, we participate. Calvary. We take that bread and drink that cup. You see, sometimes we just come in and take communion and we don't think about these things. I've been going to church all my life and they have communion. It doesn't say when we to have it. Some people have it every time they go to church. It says, as often as you do this. Here at Rhema Church, I set aside the first Sunday of every month for us to participate in the life of Christ. Do you realize when you eat that bread and drink that cup, you're participating in his life? You see, because of this table, we now participate in the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have local churches, but there is the church. That's the universal church of everybody that's born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we participate in that. We need to quit judging people because of the label and judge them because of the blood that's been applied to their heart, and judge them according to how we see God moving in their lives. Come on now. When we partake, we are participating in the blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ, which means salvation and healing. We're not just participating in taking the communion, but we are participating in what Christ has done for us and where he has put us and where he's established us and what he has given unto us. I realize this is not a shouting sermon, but this is a sermon that should get you thinking about what the communion really is. So many times we just come and, oh, it's communion Sunday again. No, it's just not communion Sunday again. This table is talking without ever saying a word. In fact, I got a term that says this table speaks. In fact, I got a whole book of communion sermons back there that was taken from all those that I preached for those number of years. And it says, the table that speaks. This is a table that speaks without saying a word. That table says healing. That table says salvation. That table says protection. That table says prosperity. That table says so much more. You know, this has probably been a short message, but it's a time, the communion is a time of proclamation. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. As we participate in communion today, we are proclaiming that he is the Lord, and he is the Savior, and he's the healer, and he's the soon coming King. We are proclaiming the greatest story that's ever been told. We are proclaiming the good news, the news that every individual that will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior can be born again and live in harmony with God, in the family of God, looking for that day when he will come again. This says we're looking for that day. This is proclaiming that we are looking for that day when he will come again and receive us out of here. Come on now. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about communion today. I'm excited about what this table says. I know that a lot of times people will just tack it on the end of a service and show no significance. People will go in and take communion and just because it's what they're supposed to do. That's taking it unworthy as far as I'm concerned. Now, I'm not judging anybody. That's just as far as I'm concerned. This should be a very sacred and important thing for us when we take communion. It's a sacred thing. That table exists for you to have life and have it more abundantly. You know, we're proclaiming, like I said before, deliverance from sin. We're proclaiming healing. We're proclaiming all of these things. You see, communion is more than a wafer and a cup. Communion is more than just something we do on the first Sunday of every month. Communion is our personal way of showing reverence to Jesus Christ that died that we might be free. See, just don't take it as a church thing. It's a personal thing. It's a way that you proclaim. It's a way that you remember what Jesus did for you. Think about it. It's a time to remember where you would be if it wasn't for this table. It's a time to examine yourself. Take inventory, we might say. Where am I with Christ? Am I with Christ now where I used to be? Have I advanced? Hello? That's what examination is. It's taking inventory of yourself. Not somebody else. Not your friend, not your wife, not your husband, not your brother, your sister. It's you. This is a personal thing. I want you to point to yourself right now and say this. Communion for me is personal. It's a time, like I said, of participation. Thank God. We get to participate in the family of God because of what he did on Calvary. And oh, I like this last one. I want to shout it from the housetop. Proclaim it. It's a time that we can proclaim what God has done for us. And some of you would not even be here today if God hadn't intervened. If it wasn't for what Jesus has done for you and delivered you out of what he's delivered you out of. Some of you had the death sentence put on you, but because of that broken body, those stripes, you're well and healed today. Some of you, they said you'd never be amount to anything. You were sentenced, but now you're free because God has set you free because of what Jesus did. Oh, man, I want to tell you something. It's time to remember. It's time to examine. It's time to participate, and it's time to proclaim the message and proclaim what God has done for you. You're sitting in this room today, this auditorium today, because of what this table means. Without this, what this table means, where would you be? What would you be? Would you even be alive today? See, the communion is so important. And yet, I'm afraid we don't give it the significance that it needs sometimes. Heavenly Father, for just a moment, I've tried to remind these people of what this table really means. And Father, I pray that each of us will understand better after today about communion than we ever have before. I thank you for it in Jesus' name.